As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Welcome to the Life Coaching for Men podcast, where real life meets real coaching. I'm your host, Dr. Darren Wilson. Well, welcome in everyone to episode number 144 of the Life Coaching for Men podcast. I'm so glad that you're back here with us this week. Really appreciate you showing up each and every week. And I got to tell you, we've got a special one in for you today. We've got a great guest who's become a good friend of mine. And I'm just really, really, really excited for the audience to get to hear his story and what he's going to bring to you and what he's going to bring to the podcast. But Alan Blaine is the former owner and CEO of a $40 million real estate investment company. After realizing that he was not pursuing his true passion and calling, he launched what he calls his Work From Anywhere Freedom Business, teaching everyday people how to create passive income streams from their phones. Within just 16 months, he had turned a $75 investment into a six-figure passive income. Today, he has grown his organization to include over 10,000 others, spanning 10 countries, producing millions in annual revenue, and representing countless lives that have been positively impacted by his company's food supplements. Alan enjoys training, coaching, and encouraging other entrepreneurs by sharing past struggles and mistakes he's overcome while succeeding in business and at home. Alan is also the host of the top-ranked podcast called Life's Hard, Succeed Anyway, where his weekly guests share their stories, struggles, and strategies used to overcome their adversity and succeed anyway. When he's not working, Alan can be found hanging out with his family in their Nashville home, taking others out wake surfing or fishing, training for a triathlon, or dating his wife, Nicole. Alan has been married to Nicole for over 30 years, and they have been blessed with six children ranging in age from 28 to 15. Welcome, Alan Blaine.
Darren, thank you so much. I'm pumped to get to be on here on your show and get to share a little bit of my story with your audience.
Well, I feel like just from reading your bio, man, you've done more in I know you just turned 50, you're my age. So
that's right.
You've done more in your 50 years than a lot of people have. And, you know, I'm just so excited to get to hear not only what you've been through and to be able to succeed, but also some of the strategies that you've been able to employ, you know, over your lifetime. And our audience in particular, you know, this is the type of stuff that we love, because we're all just trying to figure it out, right? We're all just a bunch of men that are really just trying to figure out, hey, what are we doing here? What's our purpose? And how can we get better each and every day? So with that, share just a little bit about your personal story. I've given them kind of the overview and the high arching thing, but tell us a little bit about your story, where you're from, and kind of how you got to be where you are today.
Yeah, well, I'd love to. First of all, again, thank you so much for having me on here, Darren. I consider it an honor and a privilege. I know that you're crushing it with this podcast, reaching and encouraging a lot of other men. And I hope that my story in some way can, if it just resonates with one person out there, it'll be well worth my time. I grew up in the Central Valley of California in farmland. It's an area that most people don't picture California to be, but a smaller town, you know, in rural California. And met my high school or my college sweetheart, my wife, who was then my college sweetheart at the ripe old age of 19, was married by the age of 20. And we have in common that we were both baseball players in college, yeah. Darren. She was a volleyball player when we met. Anyway, so we got married, went on to have 6 children together, which we still have. We've been married almost 31 years now, but I went right into the family business in construction, you know, starting at the ground floor, you know, $7 an hour back then in 1992 and swinging a hammer and doing that. And something I'd always wanted to do was to be a police officer. So I applied and was one of the 1% at that time that got hired as a California Highway Patrol officer, did that for a few years. The reason I'm saying all that is because money never really was a driver for me. You know, obviously I wanted to live a comfortable life, but being an entrepreneur was never on my radar. Making a bunch of money was never really a desire for me. At all. I wanted to just do something that I enjoyed and that I felt was making a difference ultimately. Fast forward a few years, I got out of construction. I got out of police work and went back into construction and home building and home flipping and really all things real estate. And what I found over the course of, you know, now I'm in my early 40s. And what I found was I was making great money, but I was lacking significance and purpose and a career that I really felt was making a difference in people's lives. And most importantly, that was making a difference in my own family's life. It was nice, the lifestyle we had as far as monetarily, but it wasn't providing a lot of the things, the most important things. And I went through I've been through a lot of hard in my life. I mean, that's the context or the kind of the driving force behind my podcast, Life's Hard, Succeed Anyway, is just, I've been through a lot of challenges. I've learned that everybody has challenges. And that in going through that, you know, I went through a pretty dark season, really, in my early 40s, made some really poor choices, which brought on other challenges in my life, you know, that were of my own doing, that affected my health and my family and my marriage and all kinds of things. And that's when I realized, you know what, there's gotta be a better way. Life has never been about money for me. What can I do to feel more purpose-driven and make a greater impact on other people's lives? And therefore, feel much more passionate about it, enthusiastic about it. And that's when at 43 years old, almost 8 years ago, I pivoted completely and changed, you know, changed careers altogether, got out of real estate and construction, and now have our own company, as you said, in the nutritional space, teaching and training and coaching actually thousands of others now around the world. It's grown significantly to enjoy a life of freedom and purpose and fulfillment. And in doing so, I am much, much more fulfilled, and it's been an incredible, incredible journey.
Yeah, that is so cool. It's a great story. And I love the title of your podcast. So I do want to talk about that, but take me back, because a lot of the guys that I work with are, you know, are successful in their professional lives, and they struggle at home. They struggle personally, whether it's being, you know, vulnerable with their spouse, being able to have those types of conversations that, you know, we don't naturally like to have as men. I think our wives are just, you know, they're more natural to just open up and want to connect, and oftentimes we don't. So take me kind of back to that 19-20 year old Alan when he gets married, and compare him to now in terms of what your relationship with Nicole looks like and how that has transpired over those 31 years.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot has happened in those 31 years. I would say the 20-year-old Alan was, well, the 50-year-old Alan's very driven. The 20-year-old Alan was also very driven. I don't know that that's changed a bit. But I basically had my priorities, I would say, out of whack at 20 years old. I did not understand what I understand today. And what I understand today is, and it's easy to say this, what I'm going to say, it's much harder to actually implement and execute it. But my priorities are, let me back up. As a man, most of us are driven to accomplish, as you know, and succeed. I know you're a very driven guy, you know, a college athlete, and it's carried on through your life. You talked about that when you're on my podcast a few weeks ago. But it's so easy to get rewards, you know, the feeling of accolades and accomplishment and metrics where we can see the ball moving down the field, so to speak, in our professional lives. It's much harder to see that at home. And so I had my priorities kind of backwards, really, because I was putting most of my energy into the things work, even though I wasn't an entrepreneur and I wasn't, you know, trying to scale to some major business or anything like that. I was really gaining value and identity and self-worth in my occupation. And although I would have said my relationship with God and then my marriage and then my children and then my work, my life would prioritize that way. I mean, I would say it prioritized that way, but in reality it didn't.
Right.
And I think that was that is the biggest difference from the Alan at 20 and the Alan at 50 is now. I mean, it's a constant daily check to keep myself in check, but I can genuinely say that is my priority. I've taken, you know, the success pyramid, if you want, flipped it upside down from what mainstream America tells us it should be, I guess.
Right. Which is so cool. So I'll tell a little story on myself, which I haven't told, but when you mentioned the fact that you were a California highway patrolman, man, one of my favorite shows growing up was Chips.
Like, oh, yeah.
I was Chips, right? It was so awesome. So you lived that out. That's so cool.
Right.
When you were a policeman and then you transitioned out of being a policeman back to was there any moment that said, hey, I don't need to be a policeman anymore? Or did you just kind of naturally go from, you know, being that cop service kind of guy back to the construction?
Yeah, industry? No, I enjoyed the work. It was it's not like the TV show, but it is very enjoyable in many respects. It's very high adrenaline, many, many great stories that came out of those 5 years. That I could tell now and maybe will someday tell my grandkids, but what I realized was I was way too driven to be a government employee. That's what I realized for myself. Good. I just, and I didn't have the perspective of, hey, I can go start a podcast like you've done or, you know, impact, you know, with unlimited scalability of lives that you are impacting or that we can impact or whatever the thing is. Right. I mean, I didn't think outside the box. So to me, the career was the only way I was going to do whatever I was going to do. And I just realized, man, no matter how I perform, no matter how hard I work, I'm going to earn the same as the guy next to me. So that was what I kind of, and I realized I'm not really making the impact I hoped I would make as a police officer, because the reality of it is, I think as most police officers realize very quickly, it's not exactly like you might think it is when you get in there.
Yeah. And I don't care what the profession is. I think guys in general, at some point in their lives, we all kind of think, okay, is this what I was made to do? Is this where my passion is? And as we talk through on this podcast, you know, I challenge people to say, you know, if you're not happy where you are and you don't feel like you're making a difference, you can make a change. You know, I think we get paralyzed in that sometimes, but you certainly can make a change. And so kudos to you for being able to do that, you know, then and know, hey, there's something out there that's more of a better fit and a bigger purpose for me. So going back to the theme of your podcast, Life's Hard, tell me, What are some hard moments? Maybe what's a dark moment that you've had in your life that you've had to come through? Because now I think it's so interesting. You know, it's kind of like the word picture of the mountain where you see the mountaintop and, you know, underneath of it, nobody sees all the junk that happens underneath that glacier.
Right.
And so I love that word picture. So they look at you now, they see, you know, highly successful guy, great marriage, kids, money, all the stuff. but we all know that we all have junk that we've had to deal with. So give me some of give us some of the junk.
Yeah. Happy to give you some of the junk. It's episode one of my podcast. It's out there for the world to hear. What I realized, Darren, was I kept a lot of the junk under wraps for years, actually for most of my life, just until recent years when we launched our, as I call it, work from phone or work from anywhere business that we teach and train and coach others to do. When I started started that 8 years ago, and you know, within a year or so, it was a six-figure passive income. I was able to work my way out of the construction industry and do that full time, and we've grown it substantially since. But what I realized a few years ago, once I started opening up, as I'm coaching these different, young or not necessarily young in age, but newer, oftentimes entrepreneurs, they're maybe have never even owned a business before, or maybe they have. And they're sitting there, like you said, looking at me and others who have had success. And when I started sharing some of the stuff that I'd been through, some of the challenges, some of the struggles, and getting really authentic and real and vulnerable with them, and letting them know that, by the way, these are some of the, a lot of these challenges are what I've gone through just in the last now 8 years while scaling this business that they understood has been fairly successful, very successful. I saw scales fall off their eyes, figuratively speaking, and hope in their eyes, maybe is a way to say it, that, wow, you mean you've been through this in the midst, I would have never even known, by the way, they would say, and in the midst of doing this and impacting lives and growing your business, you were doing all this behind the scenes, going through all this. And I say, yes. It was like, well, if you can go through challenges and you can succeed, well, why can't I? And that's when I started realizing, and that's again, what springboarded the whole idea of the podcast, because I mean, I've had, you know, pastors of churches of 7,000 mega churches that have, you know, passed addicts, you know, struggled with addiction or, you know, comedians with millions of followers on there that again, addiction, you know, major addiction issues and, you know, people that have like yourself come through divorces and I mean, all kinds of things, but the key, the common theme though is they've all succeeded anyway and are succeeding anyway, as you're such a great example of, Darren. So mine, for me, there's a lot of things, but you know, I grew up in like what I would always call a Leave It to Beaver home. I mean, I really believe that I was blessed for the first 11 or 12 years of my life. It was great. I had two loving parents and so on and so forth. But around 40, and I've gone through some plenty of challenges up till age 40, but around 40 was probably the darkest season because and as crazy as this sounds, I think Nicole, my wife, whose parents split when she was about 2 years old, handled that better. I think it might potentially, I'll never know, be easier on her from what I understand than what my parents divorcing in my early 40s was on me. Partially because it sent my mom into a bedridden depression where literally it was almost like she was in a coma for 10 years, figuratively speaking, but she didn't leave her bed for 10 years. And then I was left to negotiate the settlement against my dad, who I love. And now I haven't talked to for years, but I still love him. But at that time, you know, this is my father and I'm having to negotiate a settlement against my mother. Well, this was really hard on our family. And shortly thereafter, through this whole process, as my dad left my mom and got a girlfriend and, you know, ended up just not doing right by anyone in the family. At that point in time, my sister, 40-year-old, wonderful mother of four, married, happy, healthy, she takes her life. Just shocked the whole family. She takes her life. 1,500 people at her memorial service, to give you an idea of how much she was loved and admired and appreciated. I mean, this lady was amazing, my sister. Anyway, within a couple of years after that, my brother, you know, top Keller Williams agent in the nation, you know, doing millions of dollars a year in commissions, takes his life. Happily married. You know, he was one of my best friends. And so all this kind of perfect storm happens at the same time, Darren, that I'm sitting there really struggling with, what is my purpose? What is my, you know, professionally speaking, the thing I'm spending most of my waking hours doing, what am I doing and what am I doing it for? Is it just for the money? Because that's not cool. That's not doing it for me. You know, I live in Nashville now. We were in Washington State. I was commuting to California. I was gone a lot. I was working a lot. I was missing out on vital moments with my family. And I'm just sitting there going, and now I'm going through all this. And what in the world? And so that's when I turned to alcohol. I mean, I'd gone, not that I hadn't drank before. Yeah. I'd gone years drinking, but years not drinking. And I turned to alcohol. Next thing you know, speaking of the chips and the CHP, I mean, I was the guy that arrested the DUIs, 15 or 20 a month. And I found myself in jail with a DUI, going to being forced to go because my blood alcohol level was so high. I had to go to rehab for 30 days. Now, we had just started our work from phone business, as I call it. Yeah. And here I leave my wife, my children. I find myself in a 30-day rehab center with no phone, no connection to the outside world. It was a deep, dark experience. And anyway, that's probably the toughest season of my life, I think, to answer your question.
So you've lived a lifetime of tragedy almost in those few years. I mean, that's more than most people ever have to go through. I mean, to lose two siblings to like that, and then with your parents, and then, you know, I can't imagine, to be honest with you. So
Darren, there had been other things before that, like I said, I didn't mention, and I won't go into them, but like any one of those things, I think could have been a major situation for some people, like having a 14-year-old daughter diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah,
that would have been, you know, 10 years earlier, 20 years earlier than that, you know, and having another daughter with really extreme seizures where she was hospitalized in Children's Hospital in Atlanta for a week and not knowing where we're going. So it feels like it's been one thing after another, but what I described was the worst of it all.
So how did you, and I know faith's important to you for sure, but from just a practical standpoint for our listeners who may be going through something similar at this very moment, how did you navigate through some of those darkest seasons?
Well, good question. Not too well.
Well, you've come out on the other side very well. So, I mean, I get that it's not like there's this, and I say this all the time to our listeners, there is no magic pill. Yeah. Like it takes work to get through things that are going on in our brains, going on in our bodies, going on around us. It takes work. But I know that knowing you a little bit like I do, I know that you had some sort of thing in place that kind of got you through that, whether it was, you know, one thing at a time, or even something that you can give our audience that says, look, if you're really struggling out there, man, here's some hope for you.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Like I said, I didn't always make the right choice and all, but I definitely, I view my life in two seasons. So that's why I'm a little struggling with the answer.
Yeah, that's okay.
Up until starting this business 8 years ago, which positively impacted my life in a multitude of ways up until that point. So my up to age 42, 43 years old, let's say, it was really, truly God's grace and my faith in Him. But my faith in Him was not very strong, not like it is today. Yeah. So it's almost like I have two seasons in my life. So more than two, but two distinct different ones. But during that time, in addition to that, personally, a lot of grit and a lot of just, you know, kind of pull myself up by the bootstraps, and I'm just not going to quit because I'm just not going to quit. And where it's just not an option. I'm not quitting. But that being said, around the season of starting this newer business 8 years ago, I caught a whole new vision for my life. Now my answer is completely different because the divorce, the brother, the sister, a lot of these other things that happened during this season, it was after I've already caught a new fresh vision for my life, where I was going. And I believe that, you know, that the size of one's vision is what determines the size of the obstacles that's going to get them down. Yeah. And so now it's like, I know where I'm going. I know why I'm going there. And so I'm much more prepared to be able to keep looking beyond the obstacles and pushing right through them. Again, trusting ultimately in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that is the only one that can get me through anything, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, amazing that you've been able to do that. So as you think about your relationship in particular with Nicole, especially now, what are some things that you do now to keep that relationship going strong, keep it fresh? I know even in the bio, you mentioned about, you know, dating her, having date nights. I follow you on Instagram, so I watch you guys do some cool stuff there. But what are some things now that you do, maybe that you didn't do early on that, that have been really good?
Yeah, well, we did not take a true vacation probably to get just the two of us. I mean, more than maybe we did an overnight. Like an overnight, you know, one night in a hotel nearby or something, but until we were about 40. So a lot has changed in the last 10 years in my life, but I would say definitely, I love dating my wife. I date her as much as possible. Once a week is the goal, and getting away, you know, 3 or 4 times a year, even if it's just a weekend, but ideally for a week, at least a couple times a year is our goal. And we're doing pretty good at that here more recently. Another big thing is those early years of marriage, I was always thinking, hey, it's 50-50, you know, I mean, on paper, I guess it is 50-50, but the way I live my life now with my marriage is I'm giving 100%. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you give. I'm giving 100%. It's 100% all out, all in. And I'm not keeping score, you know, cause the 50-50 mindset made me start keeping score and, you know, look at what I'm expecting and get expectations into it, and all that just caused nothing but problems for me. So I'd say those are some of the big ones. I also love asking Nicole. I mean, you know, Darren, I've learned so much, and I feel like the more I learn, the more I have to learn. And I want to be, I am committed to being a lifelong learner, and that excites me. It keeps life fresh and curious and interesting. And so in all of these areas, you're talking about marriage now, and all these areas, I'm excited to grow and learn. But one thing I've learned that's really been helpful, and I use it with my children too, not as often as I should, but I love asking Nicole, how are we doing? How am I doing? How would you say our marriage is, or how am I doing as a husband? And ask it a couple different ways on a 1 to 10 scale. 1 to 10. 10 is like, hey, I'm Superman perfect, you know, perfect husband. 1 is it can't get any worse. Where am I at right now? And no matter what she says, the next question is, what do I need to do to get to a 10? And that's the magic question, you know, and that's been really, really helpful, and not being defensive in it and just going, okay, hey, sometimes the answer is I'm a 2 and sometimes I'm an 8. But the next question is, what do I need to do to get to a 10? Because that's ultimately the goal. She's going to give me feedback, and it's going to be honest feedback. And then I have a choice of what I do with it.
And that takes some, I mean, there's some real wisdom there. And I think, you know, for our audience who are struggling right now in a relationship, to have the confidence to ask that question and know that regardless of the answer, you're okay. And you get, you know, you still get to decide how you want to act, behave, do, regardless of what she says, because you know in your heart of hearts that you're worthy, regardless of what her answer is going to be. You know, so many of us ask that question, and when that answer becomes a 2, we crumble, right? Or we get angry and we make it about ourselves. And I think there's so much wisdom and insight in that. And you can tell so much work has gone into that, because to be able to ask that question in that moment requires a lot of faith on your part in yourself. So cool. I mean, that is so cool.
And I'm not going to lie, that natural tendency when the number comes back anything less than 7 or 8 or 9,
it hits you, right?
It hits you. And it's like, that is not what I wanted to hear. And I want to defend. I want to be defensive. Like, what?
Yeah.
But man, I have learned, and again, I'm not always perfect in it, but I have learned, if I can just put my emotions aside and just not be defensive, hear her out, man, I'll tell you what, if any other women are like my wife, just that in and of itself, to not be defensive and go, well, tell me about that. What do I need to do to get to a 10? Cause that's important to me to be a 10 for you. I mean, I think it says, I love you 100 times to most women.
Well, and we talk a lot on here about being curious. And really, that's being curious, right? Can you be curious into why you got that answer from her, why you got that number from her? Because if you stay in that state of curiosity, it's really hard to get angry. It's hard to be angry and curious, right? Because if you're curious, you really wonder, you really want to know, hey, what can I do to make this better? What can we do to make life better? So I love that. Give us, I know you read a lot. I know you listen to a lot of podcasts. I know you've grown. Give us kind of a nugget, maybe a secret to your kind of current success, maybe something that you're doing right now that, you know, you might do daily or that you do weekly, or just something that, you know, that has really helped you.
Wow. Great question. When you asked that, just the first thing that I think of, there's many things I could say, but the first thing I think of is the importance of my mind and protecting it at all cost, confidence, protecting my confidence at all cost. And just, you know, as I've told many people, and I believe with all my heart, and this really doesn't apply just to business. I'm normally talking in the context of business, to entrepreneurs or those that would be. And it's like, everything is one in the 6 inches between our one or lost in the 6 inches between our two ears. And so I would say the number one habit that has helped me in my success has been to daily be in, like Romans 12:2 talks about, to daily be renewing my mind, because there's negative stimulus coming at me and you and every one of us every single day, everywhere we turn. And yes, there's things we can do to mitigate that and limit that, and associations matter, and what we listen to and watch, and all this matters, of course, but we can't avoid some negative stuff. And so every day, not only am I getting into the Word of God every morning and renewing my mind with that, but also like the podcasts like yours, podcasts, books, you know, anything I can do to just be absorbing good, positive mindset and information stuff, and especially even relative and specific to my industry at times too, of what we do, is very, very helpful. Very helpful. I mean, that's the first thing that I think about when you ask that question.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, any particular book recommendations? I know you asked me that on your podcast, so I'll throw it back to you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good one. So I've got a long list of great books that I've read, but I always come back to, when people ask, what's your favorite? I would say three stand out. Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. Mm-hmm. And just again, that whole principle, for anyone that's not familiar with it, understanding how little things, they may seem small and insignificant, but little positive things done consistently over time, it's like compounding interest, add up to monumental things over a lifetime, or even much less than a lifetime oftentimes. The second one I think about is, Energy Bus by John Gordon. Yeah, yeah, John Gordon. And he's now written The Power of Positive Leadership.
He's written a bunch.
Good one. But just that both of those two books, Energy Bus and The Power of Positive Leadership, just really diving into the power of positivity and how that not only affects us, but everyone around us. And so, since we're talking about families, man, my negative or positive perspective big time affects my whole household, my marriage, my wife, my children. So it's not just in the business context or professional context. And then Switch on Your Brain by Dr. Carolyn Leaf was the third one that comes to mind, talking about neuroplasticity and how our brains can be literally rewired. And again, that brings me all back to the main thing for success, I believe, is it's all mindset. I mean, you name an industry, you name a profession, you name an occupation, and if somebody is succeeding in it, they're winning in their mind.
That's awesome. So on that same kind of note, but a different, just personal note, you writing a book?
I am writing a book. It's not going quite as fast as I had hoped, but it is. And the title of the book is the same as the podcast, Life's Hard, Succeed Anyway. So I'm just telling more of my story and lessons learned from it. So I want it to be not just my story, but I want it to be applicable and practical to anybody in any occupation that, you know, they can find benefit, practical benefit in their day-to-day lives from it.
That is so cool. So tell us where the audience can find you, and then I've got one last question for you, and then we'll wrap this thing up.
Okay. Well, I've got a website. My website is Alan Blaine. It's a unique spelling, so it's A-L-L-A-N Blaine.com. So alanblaine.com. And all of my, you know, I've got Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, YouTube, all the things are on the contact page of that alanblaine.com website. So that's probably the best way to find me. And I'd love to connect with any of your listeners that might want to on any social media platform I'm on.
Well, you've been amazing. Well, give us some parting words of wisdom. Tell us just kind of one kind of final thing that you would say, you know, if you didn't get anything else out of this, here's what I'm going to leave you with.
Okay. Well, I would say that this is just really encouraging to me to know that the challenges we go through and the adversity we go through, the trials, even the failures that we go through are there are master's degree in character development, in patience, and perseverance, and all the things that really, really matter to live a successful life. So to be able to embrace going through whatever it is, I think fear, Darren, often fear holds us back. People talk about stepping outside their comfort zone or not stepping outside their comfort zone. I like to view it a little differently. I like to view it as expanding our comfort zone. Mm. And the reason, I'll tell you why I say that. When you step outside your comfort zone, it kind of pictures a line, a circle. You know, you're drawing a circle around yourself and you're stepping out across the line. I mean, it is true, but I like to envision we're going to expand that line. And the reality is we do, because everything is uncomfortable until it gets comfortable. Everything is hard until it gets easy, said another way. I mean, it was uncomfortable for everyone listening to this episode to chew solid food when they came off a bottle.
That's right.
It was uncomfortable for everyone listening to this episode to say their first word, whether it was dad, dad, mom, mom, wow, whatever it was, to ride a bike, to do any of these things that we've all learned to do, I would say. So to realize that, hey, when I face my fear, that's courageous. Without fear, no courage is required. But when I face my fear, to whatever it is, because I imagine you have a wide variety of listeners on this podcast, and we all have fears. Every single one of us. Don't believe anyone else doesn't. We all have fears. We all have insecurities. But when we can face those fears, punch them right in the mouth, take courage to do the uncomfortable thing we want to do or we were just afraid to do, what that does is when we do it, maybe once, twice, three times, four times, five times, we do it enough, we're going to expand our comfort zone. And what at one point was uncomfortable becomes comfortable. So in doing so, we're going to fail, we're going to fall, we're going to get back up, and we're going to have failures and trials and challenges. And to know those are developing not only our capabilities, but our confidence and our character in the process. And to me, that's super encouraging. That's an encouraging way to walk through life. And it's the opposite of walking through life fearful, insecure, and just getting to the end of our life and looking back and with regret. Because I don't know about you. I know about you, Darren. I know you like me. You don't want to live. It's why you're doing this podcast. You don't want to live with regret. You want to make an impact. We want to live our lives in a way that outlives our life when we're gone. And I would just encourage all of your listeners, I guess, a long-winded way of saying is embrace the challenge, embrace the suck, embrace the trials, knowing you're growing through it and you're getting something of great value on the back end.
Well, that's incredible. I told you all you were in for something special. So Alan, can't say thank you enough, man. I know you're busy and you've got all kinds of stuff going on and you took time out of your busy day and busy schedule to be with us. So really appreciate you.
Man, this was so fun. I appreciate you. Thank you for having me on and thank you for all the guys' lives out there. You're positively impacting with this podcast. It's fun to be friends and see what you're doing. And I'm on your coattails. I'm just learning from you. Yeah. And you were one of the first calls I made when I wanted to start a podcast. So thanks for all your help.
Well, thank you. And everyone, thanks so much for listening. As always, I can't wait to see you back here next week. If you need me, reach out, drdarrenwilson@gmail.com, drdarrenwilson.com. We'll see you right back here next Thursday. Take care, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If I can help you in any way, reach out to me today, drdarrenwilson@gmail.com, or go to the website, drdarrenwilson.com, and sign up for a consult today. Can't wait to see you soon. Take care, everyone.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save